RNE Audio. Descarga la app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales. Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
On Sunday, the 2nd of March, Madrid's vegans have a date in Espacio Rastro Madrid. The third edition of the Madrid Vegan Market will be opening its doors to bring together local businesses, brands, and associations that promote a vegan lifestyle.
Diana Esteban, co-founder of the Madrid Vegan Association, joined us to tell us more about this event and veganism in Spain.
It's around 12% of the population in Spain who doesn't eat meat. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. We need to come together, we need to meet each other, and we need to be like a kind lobby to get improvement to the planet and to the animals.
You're listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, where we bring Spain to you through shortwave with Amy Egan
and Marilyn Quintana. Today we have help from sound technician Dani Muñoz
and production help from Cristina Dorado.
Before we get into the rest of the broadcast, the news.
The European Committee of Social Rights has concluded that Spain has infringed on the European Social Charter in the Cañada Real shanty town outside of Madrid.
The Cañada Real is an extended strip of land that is 13 kilometers long and it has suffered power outage for years. In 2020, the UN declared that the lack of electricity violates human rights, but little has been done since then.
4 years without access to a consistent energy supply, a situation that affects 4,500 people, of which 1,800 are children. The electricity company in the area, Natur Energy, blames electricity theft for marijuana farming, but for the European Committee, this is no excuse. The right to energy should not be put in the hands of a private company, they say, and should be protected by public institutions.
Que es una condena rotunda a España por violar 10 de los derechos básicos.
The decision of the European Committee was made public this Wednesday and concludes that Spain has breached 10 rights in 7 articles of the revised European Social Charter. Access to stable, consistent, and adequate energy is fundamental, the committee said, for people to enjoy their basic rights to housing, health, and education.
American photographer Annie Leibovitz was in Madrid this Wednesday for a viewing of her royal portraits with their subjects, the King and Queen of Spain.
The portraits were unveiled in November to a mixed response from the public and critics. They are currently on display in the Bank of Spain, where Don Felipe and Doña Leticia admired them alongside their author this morning. Asked by journalists about his impression of the portraits, the King said it was not up to them to judge the result, while the Queen smiled and responded with a question. What do you think?
The 2026 Tour de France cycling race will begin in Barcelona for the first time in its 113-year history.
City Mayor Jaume Collboni says that it is a dream that this event is coming to Barcelona.
Y creo que culmina una ambición que tenía la ciudad desde hace más de 10 años de no solo ser una etapa, sino ser la capital del Tour de Francia a nivel internacional.
This is the culmination of an ambition the city has had for over 10 years, he said, of being more than just a stage, but the capital of the Tour de France. This is the third time Tour de France starts in Spain, and the first two stages of the race will finish at the 1992 Olympic Stadium.
Spanish TV presenter Jesús Calleja has become the third Spaniard to travel to space, the first one who is not an astronaut.
Because it's incredible, it's marvelous, it's the heart is the beautiful. Yes. And the atmosphere is...
He was accompanied by 6 crew members on the new Shepard rocket from the company Blue Origin, which has already launched several space tourism missions. The rocket took off from Van Horn, Texas at 9:50 local time on its way to the Kármán line, considered to be the frontier of space. 10 minutes later, it landed back on Earth.
Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez took to social media to congratulate the presenter. You're up for anything, he posted. Jesús Calleja is known in Spain for embarking on extreme expeditions and adventures, such as climbing Mount Everest or exploring the Krubera Cave, experiences which he usually records and turns into documentaries. In international news, Hamas has announced an agreement with Israel for the release of the hundreds of Palestinian prisoners that were supposed to be freed last Saturday. Hamas will hand over the bodies of four hostages, the four remaining out of the 33 that were scheduled to be released in the first stage of the ceasefire. In exchange, Israel will be releasing 602 Palestinian prisoners.
Meanwhile, in the Strip, at least six babies have died due to the cold wave that hit the region. And in the West Bank, Israel continues the military offensive. This weekend, they entered the city of Jenin for the first time in 20 years. On Wednesday morning, US President Donald Trump posted a video of what Gaza could become, an AI-generated video in which the Strip is turned into a tourist resort. The video comes a few days after he announced his plans to take over the region and remove the Palestinians.
Since he arrived in office, Mr. Trump's decisions and statements have been the object of criticism coming from several international actors. U.S. historian Timothy Snyder visited our country to present the translation of his last book on freedom and spoke about the current political climate in his country.
A 21st century coup, a situation that no one has ever faced before. This is how author Timothy Snyder describes the current politics in his country, the United States.
Normally when you carry out a coup, you bring in the men with the guns. You bring the men with the guns to the critical ministries. In this kind of coup, you bring the men, you bring the teenagers with the coding skills, and you threaten a lot. That's what's happened. So it's a kind of coup for the world that we're in.
In his last book, On Freedom, he reflects about this concept as a human condition and the basis of democracy. But he makes a clear distinction between the meaning of freedom to and freedom from.
If you make the mistake of thinking that freedom is just freedom from, then you end up with an ideology which tells you that freedom means making the government smaller. And if you make the government smaller, it can no longer provide the basic things that allow us to be free, like water and air and shelter and education.
He argues that this confusion is the reason for the turbulent political climate in the United States at the moment. He defends that many people see freedom as the absence of the state, but true freedom, positive freedom, lies on opportunities, possibilities to prosper and build a future working together as a society. Despite Donald Trump's unpredictability, Timothy Snyder does not consider him to be the biggest threat for this concept of freedom. Elon Musk, on the other hand, is the world's leading advocate of the idea that freedom means freedom from the state, from the government, and he has the capacity and means to present a real problem.
The real test, in my view, is not so much Trump, it's Musk. Trump has terrible policies, and he will make us poor, and he will make enemies of our friends, but he will not destroy the federal government. Musk might destroy the federal government, and this is a different sort of threat. And what he's doing is so obviously illegal that it's hard for people to know how to respond. Trump can be resisted. I mean, he's terrible, but he can be resisted. But at this point, I think it's more appropriate to think of him as sort of this press spokesman for Musk. Because as unusual as Trump is, he's much less unusual than Musk.
The book On Freedom aims to provide a philosophical answer to the questions, what is freedom? What is it that we are defending? For author Timothy Snyder, it is the highest value, the condition in which all of the other good things can be brought to life. That is precisely the reason why the concept needs to be reclaimed, separated from all those who misuse it.
Y You're listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, bringing Spain to you through shortwave.
Therapy. The concept has never been more needed than now in countries suffering from wars, crises, and trauma. Countries such as Lebanon. With the election of a new president after 2 years of vacancy, the nomination of a new government, and the end of Israeli strikes, which destroyed several regions of the country, cultural life is returning, and theatre is playing a big therapeutic role. Our correspondent in Beirut, Elsa Yazbek Sharabati, tells us more.
From laughter to tears, this is how the spectator found himself while watching the play entitled May Whatever Entangled Us Free Us by director and drama therapist Zenad Akash. A play that has been a hit since the beginning of February and which continues until mid-March at the Mounou Theatre in Beirut. Famous in Lebanon and the Arab world as a drama therapist, Zenad Akash used to go to prisons for more than a decade, where she used to include prisoners in her drama therapy sessions and create plays with the inmates. Today, it's a kind of therapy that she does to herself in front of the public, as she explains.
This play comes after 13 years of voluntary imprisonment that I've done myself in Lebanese prisons, where I conducted drama therapy workshops, I created theater performances with the prisoners, I amended some unjust laws or even against them, such as the parole system that didn't exist in Lebanon before 2009. So I find myself in a moment of existential questioning with Joseph, who is a former prisoner who spent 30 years behind bars and with whom I've worked very closely during my time in prison. We've done theater plays together and the documentaries, the films that I've done inside. So it's as if the years away from what we deemed as a normal life, combined with the crushing weight and burden of economic, political, social crisis in the country called Lebanon, have left us feeling out of place.
With her subtle humor and the depth of the subjects she addresses, Zenad Akash and Joseph, the former inmate, released after 30 years of detention, say they are strangers to society because of their distance from normal life and the series of economic, political, and social crises which have hit the country, as the actress and director underlines.
We've been in 6 years of traumas. So the last 2 months were definitely the war we lived. And before, let's remember also the Beirut blast, and before, let's remember the economic crisis, and what was really surprising and heartwarming, that theater survived during these 6 years. You'd only see definitely in the past 2 months where all Beirut was almost shut down from the war and may it never return. And these days were so heavy. But really, theater survived. Theater really survived. And I'm so happy that it survived. And it seems that theater survives because it's a great language that speaks to the people, and people want to feel connected to an interactive platform, and theater is the best, to hear their voices being acknowledged on stage.
Thanks to the sincerity of theater and this amazing director and actress, as well as the touching ex-prisoner and Sam Ghazal, the young Lebanese stand-up comedian, whose humor and sincere remarks add refreshing perspectives to the play, the show was very impactful. And the audience saw some pages turned, others freshly opened, just like this Lebanon and this Middle East, which never cease to rise from their ashes. Elsa Yazbek Sharabati for the English program, Radio Exterior de España.
third edition of the Madrid Vegan Market will be opening its doors on Sunday, the 2nd of March, and it promises to be bigger and better than the previous editions. This space brings together local businesses, associations, and brands that want to promote the vegan lifestyle. This event is organized by the Madrid Vegan Association, and to tell us more about it, we are joined by Diana Esteban, co-founder. Diana, welcome to Casa de la Radio. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for inviting us. It's a pleasure. We are honored to be here.
Well, first of all, tell us, what is the Madrid Vegan Market?
Well, it's a market. It's really a pop-up that we organize 2, 3, 4 times a year. And this is the third edition. And the first one and the second one were amazing. People were really encouraging us to do it again. And in March, we're organizing the third one. It is going to be bigger and better, and everyone is invited.
Well, the place that you have chosen for this third edition is the Espacio Rastro Madrid, a central location with a lot of space. What can we expect from this edition?
Well, it's 600 square meters of vegan exhibitors, vegan food, vegan cosmetics, vegan cakes, vegan kebabs, vegan food and food and food and more food, because you know that vegans, we are crazy about food. We want to eat vegan all the time. So we are really looking for to offer people the opportunity to have, like, in one place, many little businesses and entrepreneurs who are all around Madrid and around even outside of the city, so they can have them all in one place, so they can go shopping for the week or even for the month, and they can have these cosmetics, vegan cosmetics, and well, many products. You have to come and have a look.
So is it only companies, businesses from the region of Madrid or also from other regions?
It's mostly locals. We wanted to encourage the business we know, because we are locals. We are like senior vegans in the city of Madrid. We've been vegans for, in my case, for more than 13 years. And Carolina Martinez, my associate, for more than 20 years. So we know people in Madrid that they need this opportunity to exposure and to be met by new people, young people, and even non-vegans who come to El Rastro, the flea market of Madrid, and they wanna try what is vegan around El Rastro. There are not many vegan options, and we're giving them a lot in one day.
Well, this event also aims to bring visibility to the vegan lifestyle, organizing talks, conferences. Who will be participating in those? What can you tell us?
Me. I'm the first one that day. At 11 o'clock, I think, I'll talk about psychologist of veganism. I'm a psychotherapist, and I'm specialized in the vegan people, vegan patients. So we want to explain how to be vegan and not to be anxious or worry about that. So we're going to talk about that. And then the second talk is from We The Free. They are activists, vegan activists. And they're going to explain people how to communicate when you're vegan, to be accurate. And the third one, it's about entrepreneurship. We have a colleague, Giada, and she has a vegan restaurant, and she's going to explain how she started to run the vegan restaurant and how to be like an entrepreneurship in veganism with a purpose.
Now, you were saying that for vegans, food is very important, and we tend to associate veganism only with eating habits. But I understand that it goes way beyond that in all the products that we consume, like clothing, accessories, makeup. How are these other areas represented in this market?
Well, for example, we have vegan candles. We have vegan cosmetics, not tested on animals. That's very important to us. And leather, not made with animal products, no silk, no leather, these kind of things. And it's a way to live. It's a lifestyle, really. We don't go to zoos or to dolphin shows and these kind of things. It's a way to be kind to animals and to the world.
Now, this is the third edition, as we have mentioned, and you were saying that you're organizing it because you had a good reception. So how was the reception in the previous years? Did you have a lot of success, a lot of visitors?
A lot. We thought, at the beginning, we thought, wow, is someone coming? We don't know. We don't know if someone is going to come for the first time. But we had, in the first and the second edition, more than 800 visitors. especially young people, young vegans, and it's a great place to meet and to make like a community and to spend a few hours and to attend to the talks and to have breakfast and lunch and then a coffee and a vegan brownie. And we love that. We love to spend like the whole day meeting new people.
I guess it's also this sense of community, finding someone who has the same habits as you. You were speaking about young people, and I was wondering, is there a profile of a person who's more likely to adopt this vegan lifestyle? I'm speaking of age, gender. What's the profile?
Well, it's very clear. As I said before, my colleague Carolina and I, we're senior vegans. And the most vegan people is mostly between 16 and 25 years old, and especially women.
Mm-hmm.
And the objectives of these people is mostly care about the planet and the animals and being sustainable and don't exploit animals. So it's more like a young, blooming movement in mm-hmm. the scene of Madrid, really.
Mm. Tell us a little bit about veganism and vegetarianism in Spain. Is it very common?
Well, in big cities, it's more and more common every day. And you can find many vegan options. Being a vegan in a very big city like Madrid, Barcelona, Sevilla, Valencia, it's not a problem at all. And they say that if you add like vegans and vegetarians and flexitarians. You know what a flexitarian mm-hmm. is, yeah?
Yeah, but you can explain it for our listeners.
It's people who is not exactly vegan or vegetarian, but they eat very little meat, only in occasions when you go to your grandma's house mm-hmm. and they have a stew and maybe they can eat meat. But 80% of the time they're vegans or vegetarians. If you add all these people together, they say now, or at least last year, that it's around 12% of the population in Spain who doesn't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. We need to come together, we need to meet each other, and we need to be like a kind lobby to get improvement to the planet and to the animals. Mm-hmm. And we are willing to do it.
So what do you think that these numbers, this big number responds to? Are people more aware of the impact of eating meat in the planet, in the health? What's happening?
Well, it's a little bit different from for older vegans like me, the ones who are organizing this event is more for ethical and animals. And I think for younger vegans is most for the planet, but really, if it's for health or if it's for whatever the reason it is, if you're vegan and you can be healthy and happy, you're also helping the animals and the planet. So it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing with these numbers, also the demand for vegan products has increased in the last years. How has the industry evolved? Are there more options available?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, many restaurants now. And now you don't have to explain yourself what a vegan is. Like when you go to a restaurant and you say you're a vegan, you're what? You have to explain what that is. That doesn't happen anymore in Spain, or at least in many big cities. And it has changed. And I think that now, really, if you feel that you want to try, there's no any excuse. At our time, it was harder, but now it's so easy. We have many vegan options. We have even very big vegan companies like Eura, who has like this no chicken meat.
Mm-hmm.
And you can cook vegan in at home very easily. You have many products like seitan, tofu, those kind of things. So yeah, you have the internet. You can check any recipe. Everything can be vegan or veganized,
mm-hmm.
or even it's accidentally vegan.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were mentioning big companies. Of course, there are some big companies that are exclusively vegan, but there are others that are like that are meat companies that are starting to like join this market to offer alternatives to their own products. And of course, we also find these vegan or veggie alternatives in fast food restaurant chains now. I'm guessing that this also has its ups and downs, right? What's your opinion on this matter?
Well, I think it's great that you have options everywhere and that they are changing from meat consumers to vegans, because we're a target and we spend the money in vegan products. So it's great that they give us like what we need and what we do. And if you're, for example, if you're a teenager, you're a vegan teenager in Madrid and you can go to a fast food chain and you can have your options, it's good for you because it's going to make you feel that you're not the strange one or the queer one. So, for example, in my case, I don't go to those places, but I'm not the John anymore. I don't need like the group support. But I understand that emotionally it's good that you can have these options for younger people.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you've been a vegan for a long time, what advice would you give to young people who want to try maybe veganism? What do they need to take into account?
Well, just feel that you want to do it. Find your own purpose, what you're doing it. And when you make up your mind, just stick to it. And you're going to have a lot of information in the internet about recipes. There are many vegan nutritionists now that you can talk. You can talk to your family. Probably they are going to support you now. It's not such a strange thing anymore. And it's very healthy. And people now has the idea that being vegan is very healthy. So in most of the cases, you're going to find that it's not that hard as you think. Sometimes we think that things are harder before we actually do that. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the same thing with veganism.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were also speaking about veganizing things, adapting things. And obviously in Spain, a big part of Spanish cuisine and a big part of the Mediterranean diet is, of course, fish, eggs, a lot of meat. Is it possible to adapt this diet to a vegan lifestyle?
Yes, everything can be veganized. Everything. You could be amazed. There are, in my vegan tours, we have vegan calamari because it's very traditional from Madrid. And we are in Madrid. We want to try what is traditional, and we found a place with vegan calamari. You can find vegan benedictines. You can find everything vegan, fish, chicken. Everything can be vegan and is gonna have a very similar texture and flavor. And in a few years, you don't need that anymore. But if you really miss a little bit of the old hamburger, you're going to have thousands of different styles in vegan hamburgers in Madrid.
Mm-hmm. So Madrid is a welcoming city for vegans, would you say?
Oh, yeah, a lot, a lot.
Well, Diana, I understand, as you mentioned, you're also the founder of Madrid Vegan Tours. Tell us a little bit about it. What is it?
Well, it's an idea I had a few years ago. I'm a traveler. I travel a lot and I'm a vegan. So I thought, well, I love food tours. I love food tours. I want to do food tours everywhere. And they were terrible when you were traveling. They don't give you good food. And one of my friends said, well, you do it in Madrid. You know, you're vegan. You know every good restaurant and you know what is traditional. And you love speaking in English and being with the people and meeting new people. And I did it. And we have the vegan tours, vegan tapas tour of Madrid now, 4 or 5 years. And people love it. We have fun.
Mm-hmm. So for someone, because our audience is mostly international, for someone who's coming to Madrid, who's coming to Spain, what advice would you give them if they want to try something vegan?
Well, for example, in Madrid, you can have patatas bravas. You know, patatas bravas, mm-hmm. They are delicious. And they are vegan. So you don't need a guide for that. And there is a few places that has vegan traditional food. Not all of them, but a few places where you can find, for example, vegan calamari, 3-4 in Madrid. So just search the internet. For example, in my associate, Carolina Martinez, she's a blogger and she runs a very famous Madrilenian blog about vegan food, Rutas Veganas. And in that blog, you're going to find a lot of dishes you can order outside in a bar, and you can taste there, because it's a pity when travelers, they come to Madrid, they don't know the language, they don't know the traditional food, and they eat vegan, but not traditionally Spanish vegan. Mm-hmm. So, for example, tortilla de patata, you can find a few places where you can find a Spanish tortilla de patata. but vegan. Lomo, for example, lomo sandwich, bocadillo de lomo, that it's so traditional and we love it. You have a obrador, like a chef, Vegasun, who has this lomo product, like a chorizo. And there is a few restaurants where you can find that too. Mm-hmm. And the calamari, many of them.
So you don't need to miss anything. No, everything is available for you. Yes. Well, Diana Esteban, co-founder of the Madrid Vegan Association, organizer of the Madrid Vegan Market, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And you are all invited to come to the market.
We will. You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, where we bring Spain to you through shortwave.
With Amy Egan
and Marilyn Quintana.
Today we have had help from sound technician Dani Munoz.
And production help from Cristina Dorado.
We thank you for listening and hope you tune in again for future broadcasts.